WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
In hour number two of the program here on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. And our Fun Friday question today is inspired by the story of the alligator found in the Charles River. And that question is, what animal would you most like to have as a pet? So this is, let's not worry about if it's legal. Like, what animal would you most like to have as a pet? Would you want a monkey? Would you want an alligator? Would you want a tiger? I mean, I guess we can put aside the dangers or the care requirements or the cost. Just what animal would you like to have? As I mentioned, when I was younger, I wanted a monkey. I'm glad that I never had one because they seem like a lot of trouble, a lot of responsibility. And I shouldn't say that I wanted a monkey, because that's not accurate. Like, I never wanted a capuchin monkey. You know, I never wanted a spider monkey. I wanted a chimpanzee. So I actually wanted an ape, I guess would be more technically correct. I wanted a chimpanzee. And then I watched that series that they had recently. What was it, on HBO? About the woman who have the chimpanzees and the people who have chimpanzees. And I was like, yeah, these people are weird. And these things are a lot of work. And when they're young, you know, they look like Bear from BJ and the Bear. They're cool, but then they get big. They get big and they get mean. I didn't take that part into account. I probably wasn't aware of that part. You know, I'm just watching Project X, and I'm like, oh, I'd like a Virgil. Look, they taught him sign language. He can communicate. First of all, I'm not a responsible enough pet owner to be able to care for a chimpanzee. But I would have been the person that ends up getting their face ripped off by it, which, you know, happens more than you think. Well, I know we had that story in Connecticut of that woman, but this documentary series talked about it happening, you know, maybe not to that extent, but certainly these chimps attacking their owners. So I'm glad that I didn't do that. And I've always wanted an iguana when I was younger, never got one. Now that I'm an adult and I could have one, I'm like, too much responsibility, too much to deal with. I've wanted a tortoise for a while. I thought that would be a fun pet to have. But then I realized I'm leaving that to my descendants. I have to say to my son, okay, now that your dad has passed away, you're responsible for his tortoise, which is, you know, only 40 years old at this point and has another 60 to go. So I think that it's probably for the best that I have my cat now. And he's a handful enough. Nana says she's wanted to have a canary. I thought about a bird. Before I got my cat, I thought about a bird. Because I was thinking, you know, that's a nice pet to have, can keep you company. I was going to get, you know, I forget exactly what it's called, but one of the, you know, a bird that can learn to talk, but also They are very expensive to maintain. They can have a lot of things that go wrong with them if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, we had parakeets when I was younger. And they were, you know, easy enough to deal with. But I was thinking like a bigger, more of a companion bird. Glad I didn't go that route because that's probably more responsibility than I can handle. Basically, this is just boiling down to I must just not be a very good pet owner. I had cats my whole life. I had dogs a good part of my life. I had fish tanks over the years, and I will, you know, every once in a while I'll start a fish tank and I'll keep it going for a while. And then if the fish die off, I eventually don't replace them. And then when the last fish dies, I'm like, okay, I'm done with the fish tank now. I had a couple of goldfish earlier this year or late last year. And when the second one died, I was like, yeah, that's enough goldfish. But I used to have a tank with Oscars in it, and I would feed the Oscars. And no, I wouldn't feed them other fish, but I would bring them home like hamburger from the diner and just feed that to them. And they got pretty big. One of them was huge. But even that becomes too much work. So yeah, I'll just stick to the cat. He's pretty self-sufficient anyway. I just got to put the food and water down for him, give him his toys. Let him sit in my lap when he's not attacking me. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We do have the story up now on the WBSM.com website and on the WBSM app about the crash last night. All the details that we have. And of course, if we get any more information about what the cause of that crash might have been, we will update the story. But as of right now, that remains under investigation. But as we were talking about in the last segment there, in the last hour, it's not... You can't all automatically assume that somebody was doing something wrong if they're going the wrong way, because it can be confusing, especially when you've got those areas where the off-ramp and the on-ramp kind of meet together and you're dependent on people seeing the wrong way sign. There was one, I think, I want to say it was in Plymouth. It was either Plymouth or maybe it was the Cape. I can't remember exactly where it was. But I went to get on the highway. And I happened to look over on the other side and saw the wrong way sign. And I thought to myself, that's deep into this ramp. Like, if you're to the point where that's where you saw the wrong way sign, like, what are you going to do at that point? You're going in the wrong direction. What do? Do you stop right there and turn around on the ramp? That's probably what I would do. Or honestly, depending on what else was around, I would drive over the strip, over the strip of grass in between before I, you know, smacked into another car and might kill somebody else. But it can be very confusing. Now, Steve's idea was to put those spike strips that pop up if you go in the wrong direction and have those shred the tires. And I don't know the logistics of that. I don't know how easily that would be to install, and if it would accidentally deploy, if that was a concern or anything like that. But he's right in that you would stop the problem before it becomes a problem. But if you look at the area where this occurred, you know, when did this woman get on the bridge? Or when did she get in the wrong lane, and how far did she go realizing she was going the wrong way? I've certainly gone the wrong way down a one-way street before, and you panic a little bit until you get to the end, or until you get to a point where you can turn around. And then, you know, as you see somebody coming up and you're like, sorry, I'm an idiot. But it's a different story when you're on a highway. And this does happen quite a bit. We just had a story a few weeks ago about a wrong-way crash where someone was killed. And that was, again, somebody that was impaired, I believe, if I remember correctly. But that's all the more reason to make it as fail-safe as possible. Have you ever ended up going the wrong way yourself, accidentally? 508-996-0500. I mean, I've gone the wrong direction, like where I was like, oh, I was supposed to turn over there and I turned over here. And that's panic. You know, that causes enough panic as it is. But you're heading in the right direction with the flow of traffic. You just went to the wrong place. You got to go find a spot to turn around. But if you are, you know, of sound mind and you are driving down the highway and you see everybody's coming at you and you're going the wrong way, I would think you would instantly pull over and stop. I guess when you're on the Braga Bridge, there's a little bit of space though, right? Though there'll be more information that comes out about this. But what we know right now is at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app, as well as our Fun Friday question, which is also on our Facebook page. What animal would you most like to have as a pet? It's brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. I also thought, too, like, you know, when I was younger and I had friends that had horses. Now, I've never spent a lot of time around horses. I've never gone horseback riding, really. I thought that for a long time I was too heavy and it wouldn't be fair to the horse. But now that I'm, you know, lighter, I think it'd be something that I might look into doing at some point. But I never really had a desire to own a horse. But I did think it would be cool to have a camel. But I thought, you know, camels really can't live around here, but turns out they can and they do. I mean, they're not native, but people have camels in this area. So that's our Fun Friday question. What pet would you most like to have? And don't worry about the law. Don't worry about the cost. Just what do you think would be fun to own, to have? I wanted a ferret for the longest time, too, when I was younger, because my dad's cousin had ferrets, and I went over to their house and played with them, and I thought they were awesome. And then, and they weren't legal at the time. Then they became legal, and I was like, oh, I should go get a ferret. And then I heard stories about how if they get out of the cage, they might get into the wall, and you might never find them again. I said, oh, that's too much. That's why I don't have hamsters, for that very reason. All right, let me take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments.
You're listening to the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love.
Welcome back. And upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. All right, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. On the other side of that, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files.
ICE agents have a new city in mind, the Department of Justice commenting on recent boat strikes, and the final penny has been made.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Immigration authorities are headed to Charlotte, North Carolina. According to multiple reports, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents are expected to arrive in the coming days. The Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office says it hasn't been asked to assist federal agents during the planned operation. Charlotte is the latest Democrat-led city to be targeted with immigration enforcement by federal authorities. An investigation is underway after reports of a strange odor at LAX.
The odor was reported on Wednesday night near a departure gate. It prompted a response from a hazmat crew. The Los Angeles Fire Department says the smell was coming from a fire control room adjacent to gate 64A. One person took themselves to the hospital after having trouble breathing. The cause of the odor has not yet been determined. I'm Daniel Martindale.
The Department of Justice arguing that service members who participate in boat strikes in the Caribbean cannot be prosecuted. The claim was recently uncovered by the Washington Post, as many critics expressed concern over the legality of the strikes, which have killed 76 people since September. Trump officials say the strikes are being carried out in waters off Venezuela and Colombia and are targeting drug traffickers, while family members of victims have denied their involvement in the drug trade. A DOJ spokesperson issued a statement yesterday asserting the strikes were ordered consistent with laws of armed conflict and are lawful. New York City Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani is reportedly meeting with NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch. Natalie Migliore reports.
Mamdani has not confirmed he has directly spoken to Tisch, only saying he looks forward to continuing conversations. New Yorkers can't agree on whether the current NYPD commissioner should stay in her position.
I think she's doing a good job. I think she's a little bit more organized. I think she's a little less corrupt than the last two.
I don't think so. Look at this city. The city's a wreck. Especially, I live in the Bronx. There's more shootings every day than I've seen. I'm 60 years old. I've never seen shootings in my life.
His transition team says the meeting is scheduled soon, adding the mayor-elect and commissioner's teams have been in regular contact.
The penny is no longer being minted in the United States, and these folks have started to stash them.
Gotta save the ones that you do have, right?
It's funny because I found like three buckets of pennies on the street, and I put them in the house, and I'm like keeping them now.
I'm gonna cash them in. You gotta download one of those apps and see what the value of the coins are now, yeah.
The feds say it costs about 4 cents to make a single penny, and the move will save American taxpayers $56 million. People can still use their pennies, just that new ones are not being made. There should still be plenty to go around, though, since the U.S. estimates there are about 300 billion pennies in circulation. Today is National Ruby Bridges Walk to School Day. Students and educators at schools across the country expected to hold events to celebrate Ruby Bridges' historic role in desegregating schools in the South. Bridges made history at 6 years old in 1960. She was the first African-American child in the South to attend an all-white elementary school. A medical expert offering tips on lowering the chances of getting Alzheimer's disease.
November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. Sandra Darling, who specializes in preventative medicine at the Cleveland Clinic, says the focus should be on foods that will provide optimal nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and healthy fats. She recommends what's called the MIND diet, which consists of mainly plant-based foods, nuts, whole grains, and beans. Research from Rush University in Chicago found when people follow the MIND diet, it lowers the risk of Alzheimer's compared to people who were not following it. I'm Michael Kastner.
A commonly used ADHD medication being recalled nationwide after failing lab tests. The recall affects generic forms of Vyvanse, a stimulant that improves focus in kids and adults. The drug failed absorption tests, meaning those taking the drug may not get the dosage needed If you believe your prescription is included in the recall, you can call your pharmacy or doctor.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Patriots made it 8 in a row at Gillette last night as they defeated the New York Jets 27-14. The Bruins lost to the Ottawa Senators 5-3 last night. The Bees travel to Montreal with the Canadiens tomorrow at 7. And the Celtics host the LA Clippers on Sunday afternoon at 3:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Mostly sunny this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon. High temperatures topping out in the upper 40s. Mostly cloudy this evening, then clearing overnight. Late night temperatures dropping through the 30s. Mostly sunny skies for Saturday. Dry during the daylight hours. Highs in the mid to upper 40s. Rain on Saturday night. Drying out for Sunday, but very windy. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, we're already getting some answers for our Fun Friday question on the Facebook page. It's brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. Today's Fun Friday question is, what animal would you most want as a pet? So we got a dog. We got a turtle. We got Jessie, who said she'd want her old dog back. And that brings up the Tom Brady dog cloning. Is that something you would do? Would you clone your former dog to be your new dog? I was saying I would do it for my dog that passed away, Ruby, but I would make a few tweaks. You know, I was like, is it possible that in this DNA cloning process, can we make it so she's, you know, not anxious about food because she wasn't fed? Like, I think she'd have a better life if she wasn't so anxious about food. Can we make it so she doesn't get car sick? Like, she hated going in the car because she knew she was going to throw up. And we tried bringing her on rides so that she could get over it, and she never really did. We gave her Dramamine. Didn't really help. So she just got to the point where she didn't even want to go in the car. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's time to talk a little pop culture.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. England's King Charles III is celebrating his 77th birthday today. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is 71, as is musician Yanni. Actor D.B. Sweeney, known for movies like Memphis Belle and Fire in the Sky, turned 64. Laura San Giacomo, who starred in Just Shoot Me, is 63. He played Putty on Seinfeld and voices Joe Swanson on Family Guy. Patrick Warburton is 61. And so is Joseph Simmons, better known as Run of Run DMC. I guess Reverend Run now. Red Sox World Series hero Curt Schilling is 59. Actor Josh Duhamel is 53. Idina Howard, who had a hit song with Freak Like Me back in 1995, is 52. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker. What's his age again? He's 50 today. Former SNL cast member Vanessa Bayer celebrates her 44th birthday today. In 1979, U.S. President Jimmy Carter issued Executive Order 12170, which froze all Iranian assets in the United States in response to the hostage crisis. In 1986, the FCC issued a notice of apparent liability to WYSP in Philadelphia for broadcasting the Howard Stern Show with material the FCC believed contained indecent material. In 1988, Murphy Brown debuted on CBS, and we know just how well that played out in the future upcoming presidential election in 1992 when Murphy Brown became a single mom, and Dan Quayle had a lot to say about that. In 1991, Michael Jackson's Black or White video was aired on Fox after an episode of The Simpsons. It also simultaneously debuted on MTV, BET, and VH1, all at the same time. Imagine that. where there's such a big music video premiere that it's on network television and four cable channels all at the same time. And then, of course, it had the controversial ending. If you remember, there was that part where he was smashing up the car and grabbing his crotch a lot, and Fox aired that. And then MTV ended up taking that off the video at the end. And they say they took it off because of the controversy. I think they really took it off because it was just like 8 minutes of it doesn't need to be here. November 14th, 1991, over 1,000 New Kids on the Block fans were given medical treatment after a minor riot broke out during one of their concerts in Berlin, Germany. How do you talk to an angel? On this date in 1992, The Heights hit number one on the pop charts with How Do You Talk to an Angel? And you know, when we talk about fictional TV bands, we overlook The Heights, but they had a number one hit. In 1994, the first trains for the general public ran in the Channel Tunnel, or the Chunnel, as it's known, under the English Channel. Some more Michael Jackson news. On this date in 1996, Jackson married Debbie Rowe in Sydney, Australia. The couple had met while he was diagnosed with vitiligo, I don't know how to say that, in the mid-1980s, and she was working as his dermatologist assistant. The couple then divorced on October 8th, 1999, with Rowe giving full custody rights of the children to Jackson, and with Rowe receiving an $8 million settlement. She got a lot of flack over that. People saying you basically sold your kids to Michael Jackson.
Girls, you know you better watch out. Some guys are only about that thing.
And it was on this date in 1998. That Lauryn Hill hit number one with Doo Wop, That Thing. And on November 14th, 2015, a pair of white boots worn by Elvis Presley during his famous 68 comeback special were bought for $44,500. That's the Gen X Files for November 14th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program. All right. There we go. There's your pop culture look back for today. Let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
My daffy desire for an animal has always been any one of the big cats.
So like a tiger, a lion, something like that?
Any of them. Black Panther, cheetah, anything. I've got the smaller cousin, which is commonly the house cat.
Mm-hmm.
But Daffy, I mean, I'll watch videos of the big cats, but then I realize I am not equipped to have one besides the money. You know what I mean? If the money was the only thing, maybe, but it's always, oh, big kitty, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't be one of those people going into an enclosure going, oh, big kitty. Like, you see some goofy people things, but.
I think that, yeah, you look at them and you want to just kind of hug them and bury your face in them, and they look adorable. But then you remember, like, if your cat gets mad at you and swats at you, you're like, haha, what are you going to do? But if one of those cats gets mad at you and just swats at you, even playfully swats at you, you know, that could do some serious damage.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, your little cat can give you some damage, too.
Oh, mine did, yeah. Just the other day.
Yeah, I heard that story. I was like, oh, I'd be so mad. I don't blame you for being pissed, because sometimes my cat will, you know, like if I'm in the lazy boy, my legs are up, and he'll jump up, and sometimes he jumps up on my leg, and it's sometimes, most of the time, it's okay, but once in a while, you know, he just hits that one spot, and it's like, yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He screams a little, and then he turns around and runs away because he knows you're at me.
I can't imagine trying to do that then with a tiger. You know, you want the tiger wants to come sit in your lap, and then you're getting crushed under this giant cat.
Yeah, well, if you ever see some of those like videos, like they sometimes people are raised them, they saved them as cubs,
mm-hmm.
and they have a reunion. You know, they're in a limited wild, and they're so excited to see you, and they literally knock you on your butt. I mean, it looks cute and sweet on video, but...
And I watch Tiger King, so I know I'll never financially recover from that. So having one of those would just cost a fortune.
I've never seen that, but
you should watch it. It's crazy. It's bonkers.
Although it's been many years, but at King Richard's Fair, when they had the Lion and Tiger show, I did get some beautiful photos of what they had called a liger.
Yes.
Which is half lion and half tiger. And I think that kitty's still around.
So the man who owned that liger and who put on the big cat show at King Richard's Fair back in the day is Doc Antle. He is featured prominently in the Tiger King series and in its sequel.
Yeah. They said that liger is like not like 900 pounds.
Yeah, very,
it's
very
a
large.
Big kitty. I think it's bigger than the other big kitties, you know.
I thought that a liger wasn't real until I went to King Richard's Fair and saw it, and I was like, oh, they are real. I just thought it was something like made up in Napoleon Dynamite, you know.
I got some beautiful pictures of that particular liger. I've got one when they, like, you know, when he faced the audience, it looked like the lion was smiling. It's just, you know, the markings and everything, and it was just like such a beautiful shot, you know.
Oh, he was smiling all right, because he was looking around thinking, any one of these could be lunch if I felt like it.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
And, yeah, I mean, I didn't believe that ligers were real until I saw one. I was like, oh, I guess they are real. But then again, maybe my zoology credentials aren't really up there, because I had an argument with my son when he was younger. He had a stuffed narwhal. And I was telling him, I was like, yeah, but they're not real creatures. He's like, no, narwhals are real. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not real creatures. A whale with a horn, that's not a real thing. And he goes, no, they are. I was like, no, it's like a unicorn. It's not real. It doesn't exist. And we like went back and forth, and he's like, Dad, go look it up. And so I went and I looked it up, and I was like, oh my God, you're right. Narwhals are real. I had no idea that was a real creature. I don't know that would be something that I'd want as a pet either. Seems I liked, you know, the idea of, oh, a young boy with a killer whale for a best friend, you know, the Free Willy movies and things like that. But I wouldn't want to have to feed one of those either. They eat a lot. And also, like, what are you really going to do with it? No, for me, I was the first person I knew that had an axolotl. I didn't even know that that's what they were called when I had one. I went to a pet store and they were advertising it as a Portuguese water dog. I was like, isn't a Portuguese water dog a dog? Isn't that like a breed of a dog? Like, no, that's what this is. And I was like, all right. Well, and I just watched it for like a good half an hour. I was like, I want this thing. And I went and I bought it and I took it home and I had him for a while. But I was like, nobody knew what it was. People would come over and be like, what is this thing? Like, oh, this is what he eats, though. All right, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
Welcome back in. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, and Dr. Jack Rocco and the team over at the Ultimate Men's Clinic want to make sure that men are feeling like the best versions of themselves. And that could be, you know, anything from helping you out with low testosterone levels to helping you out with problems in the bedroom to helping you out with weight loss. you know, we were talking about food insecurity and how people have kind of these worries about hunger here on the South Coast. Well, we also have an epidemic of people who are obese and don't know how to do anything about it, you know, myself included. So the Ultimate Men's Clinic, they take a different approach. They have a more naturalistic approach. As Dr. Jack was telling us, instead of taking a GLP-1, they can help you create your own GLP-1 in your body. And these are just some of the services that the Ultimate Men's Clinic can offer. So if you want to learn more about testosterone, if you want to learn more about peptides, if you want to learn more about all the things that make a man's body unique and make a man's body work and how you can make yours better, well, then reach out to them. You can go to their website, theultimatemensclinic.com, and see all that they can offer. Theultimatemensclinic.com, or you can give them a call, 508-505-9100. 508-505-9100. The Ultimate Men's Clinic in New Bedford. I got another break I got to get in before the end of the hour. Let me do that. We're going to have Jim Phillips tell us about what we can expect on this week's edition of Town Square Sunday. Take it away, Jim. Where'd you meet her?